In this meditation, we're going to focus on meditative self-inquiry. And I call this meditative self-inquiry for a very specific reason. First of all, because it's meditative, which means that in order to inquire in an effective way, it's necessary for us to have a certain focus of attention, which means that we need to really be present and in the moment and focused on experience rather than thought. Because in inquiry, we ask the question, who or what am I? And it's very important to realize from the very beginning that this question is not meant to be answered in the mind. It's meant to be answered experientially throughout the totality of our being. So first we'll just allow ourselves to enter into the state of meditation, a state of relaxation, of ease, and as always, connect with yourself, with what you're experiencing right here, right now, without trying to change it, without trying to alter it. Feel yourself, feel your environment. Letting the tension in the body let go, allowing it to relax. Now, the most important element in meditative self-inquiry is knowing how to ask the question. Knowing how to introduce the question into the silent mind, into the core of your being. So when we look and we observe and we ask a question, we're not looking for an instantaneous answer from the mind, but the question itself is actually focusing awareness. It's drawing awareness's attention in a certain direction. It's very important to understand this, lest the mind start searching within its past experience for an answer. Inquiry is meant to open the mind, to provide a gap within the mind through which we can enter a deeper experience. So in order to find out who and what we truly are, we first look at what we're not. We first look at what we assume we are, what we have been taught that we are. And we start with the most obvious and elemental parts of our experience. So the first one is thought. Most human beings find themselves, find their identities in thought. Most people think that they are who they think they are, whether they think they're good or bad or worthy or unworthy, deserving or undeserving. These are all thoughts in the mind. And so for most human beings, their identity, their sense of self, is actually being generated by the mind. This sense of self that's generated by the mind is what I call the false self. It's a sense of self that's simply generated through the movement of thought and conditioning. So when we start to look at mind, which is nothing but thought, we start to notice that there is thought. Thought moves in the mind. And the assumption is that you are your thoughts, that somehow your thoughts tell you about yourself. But when we start to explore it, you start to notice that there is thought. And there is also awareness of thought. You notice in your own experience that awareness itself lies before thought. Awareness is there before any thought arises. Awareness is there to notice thoughts as they arise. Awareness is there when thought passes. And so you can see in your own experience that although there is thought, that there's also the witness of thought, and the witness of thought always stands prior to thought. And therefore, you cannot be your thoughts. Thoughts happen and occur within you. Thoughts are not who you are. Thoughts do not tell you who you are. Thoughts cannot tell you who you are. When we look at feelings and the various sensations in the body, to have a human body is to have feelings and sensations. So there are obvious feelings and obvious sensations running through your body right now as I speak. Your attention may be drawn to different feelings or different associations, different places in your body. And generally, we are taught through our conditioning to identify with our feelings. So if anger arises, we say to ourselves, I am angry, as if I and anger were synonymous, were the same thing. If we are happy, we say, I am happy. If we are hot or cold, we say, I am hot or I am cold, and so associate ourselves with these feelings. But just like thoughts, although we can feel various things, many things, that there is something which is prior to feeling, closer than feeling. There is the awareness of feeling. And although feelings occur, there is an awareness that's prior to them. Feelings come, feelings go, but the awareness of them remains. And so obviously feelings present themselves, but we are not our feelings. Feelings just happen within us. We also find that minds, human minds, have beliefs, a whole array of beliefs. Beliefs about who we are, beliefs about others, beliefs about the world, beliefs about what's right and wrong, good and bad, beliefs about how things could be or how they should be, beliefs of an almost infinite variety. These beliefs float through our mind as conditioned patterns. We have been taught to associate ourselves with the various beliefs in the mind, to the point where we actually start to identify with the beliefs. We will say, I am a Buddhist, I am a Democrat, I am a Republican, I think this, I think that, I believe this, I believe that. And therefore, we start to derive our personal identities through what we believe and what we disbelieve. And yet through investigation, in a willingness to look again, to look closer, to look more deeply at this moment, we can see that beliefs also are things that appear within awareness. That a belief is just a thing, just a thought. That a belief is not who you are. That a belief does not define you or the world or others. And so, while the mind derives its identity through belief, in truth, belief is simply a pattern of conditioning that flows through mind. And there is an awareness that's prior to belief. There is that noticing of belief. And the noticing of belief is more intimate, closer than the belief itself. And so we start to realize in our own experience that we are not what we believe. Beliefs do not define who we are. Beliefs are something that's witnessed by consciousness. And then we look at our entirety of our ego personalities. Every being, enlightened and unenlightened, has a personality, has a unique way in which spirit manifests as a human being. A personality is nothing more than a mask we wear. And sadly, most human beings are completely identified with the mask of their personality structure. They think they are their personalities. And this leads to a sense of separation, to a sense of isolation eventually. But when we start to see that personality is a thing that belongs to the body and the mind, that personality itself is something that's being witnessed from within. One can be aware of their personality. We can actually say, I am aware of my personality. And so this means that personality is something, is an object that we are aware of. And as an object, we, or you, stand prior to the personality. The awareness of personality stands prior to personality. And so while there is personality, while there is ego, through investigation, you can begin to see and experience that you are not your personality. You are not the ego. You are what's peering through the personality. In the ancient tradition of Greek theater, this is where the concept of persona came from. A persona was something that the actor would wear. It was a mask they would put on the front of their face. They would assume a persona. And then they would play the part in the play, acting out the persona's ups and downs and history and trials and tribulations. And so today, we have this thing called a personality or persona. And we've forgotten that the original meaning of persona was something that we wear, something that we peer through. And we have forgotten all about our deeper spiritual nature and identity. We have been taught that our personality or persona defines who we are. But this is as silly as putting on a mask at Halloween and then thinking you are the mask. And so although there is a personality and an ego or a persona, awareness stands prior to it. Awareness wears the personality. And so we start to see that we are not our personalities, although they exist. And so we are exploring what we are through exploring what we're not. Through looking at our assumptions, through looking at everything we have identified ourselves to be, and seeing that in each and everything that we identify ourselves as, that there's actually something that stands prior to it. Something that stands before it. There is always awareness of thought. Awareness of feeling, awareness of persona, awareness of body, mind. All these things are objects of perception, objects which awareness perceives. None of them tell us about the perceiver. And so as we look deeper in a silent meditative way, we ask ourselves, what am I really then? What am I really at the core of my being? And we come upon, when we look within, behind all objects of perception, what we find is awareness or consciousness. And there we find the first assumption, the first illusion, that awareness is something that I possess. In fact, we say it in our daily language all the time, I am aware or I am conscious. And we assume that it's true. We assume that awareness is something we possess. We assume that there's an entity separate called me, who possesses awareness or consciousness. And so we bring meditative self-inquiry to this fundamental illusion, this fundamental assumption. Is there a separate self that possesses awareness, possessive consciousness? Is there a separate someone, a separate entity? And you look inside. For yourself, can you find who possesses this awareness? Can you find who possesses consciousness, the entity, the me? And as we look inside and look for this me, the one who possesses awareness, we can be amazed and bewildered when we don't find it. When this supposedly separate sense of me that possesses awareness is not there. That there is no separate entity. What's there is awareness itself, consciousness. And there is no one who is aware. Awareness itself is aware. This is a great discovery. Awareness itself is aware. Consciousness itself is conscious. No separate entity, no me behind it. As we begin to see this, we are contacting the core of who and what we are. As bewildering as this may seem to the mind, It's unavoidable in direct experience. As we let go of this belief in a separate identity and realize ourselves to be the underlying awareness, it's always been there, always been watching, always been waiting for you and I to come back home, to come back to what we really are, to rest within the seat of our own deepest nature, to realize ourself to be awareness itself. And we can explore this awareness. We can look in our own experience right now and here. Does this awareness have an age? Does this awareness have a gender? Is it a male awareness or a female awareness? Or is it simply awareness itself? Does this awareness have a limitation? Can you find the beginning of it or the end of it? These are not questions meant to be answered in the mind. I'm simply directing your attention back to its source. We are simply investigating, each of us for ourselves, what's our true nature? We have been taught and we have been told that this realization is difficult, that to wake up from the separate me identity is hard and takes years. But all it really takes is a willingness to look into the depths of your own experience immediately, right away, right here, right now. And realize that what you are is a silent watching, is awareness itself, is what in spirituality has been called spirit, something without form, without shape, without gender, without age. Spirit is awareness. Awareness is spirit. It's always been so. It has always been who we are. This spirit awareness has been wearing the mask called you and me. And like most human beings, we have lost ourselves and identified ourselves as the mask, as the persona. We have played the part of the character to such an extent that we have identified ourselves as the character, as the persona. But this inquiry is an opportunity to wake up from this trance, to realize what you've really known in the heart of your own heart. That this personality, these bodies, these minds are just a mask through which spirit awareness functions. And through this investigation, wordlessly, silently, feeling into the truth of what you are. The flash of recognition can dawn on you, can dawn within you, and you can realize that this awareness, this spirit, is what you are now, what you've always been. You don't earn it, you don't cultivate it, and you don't maintain it. It is what you are. It is also what your neighbor is, what your friend is, what your enemy is, what your lover is. It is the core and heart of all beings. And so, therefore, is not personal, does not belong to anyone. This is the one spirit, the one awareness that functions through all form, that takes all forms, that appears as all form, while always remaining in the heart, in the deepest center, formless. And so this is an invitation I give to you to rest in the mystery of what you are, to give recognition to this mysteriousness of being awareness, spirit itself, to return to direct experience and not stay lost within the trance of mind. This recognition is our inheritance. It's what we were born to realize within ourselves and realize within all things and all beings. It's available to everyone, everywhere. All we need to do is to be willing to look for ourselves, to inquire, to be guided and directed by our direct experience, and to awaken from the mind. Then there's a natural state of rest, a natural sense of freedom, a natural sense of ease. And we can be consciously what we've always really been.